Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bronx Bombers against the Tampa Bay Rays, Yankee Stadium, Sunday, July 21st. Right now, this Sunday. Hoff, what call you want? You pick the number. You pick the number. Phil, 1 to 10. Pick a number.
2's a good number.
Lazy. Russo. I'm joking. Pete. Number 2. Caller number 2. For who, Pete?
For my kid.
Oh. He wears number 2?
Anthony, my youngest, picked number 2 the other day.
Love it. Love it. There you go. Warm and fuzzies. 866-540-WFAN. 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees. Box office splits. And, of course, The Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. Let's talk a little baseball. All-star break. Almost in the rearview mirror. MLB trade deadline quickly approaching. John Heyman does a great job. MLB columnist. You see him on the MLB Network. Great podcast he does with Joel Sherman as well. Good buddy. John, good morning, or good afternoon, I should say. Thanks for the time.
Oh, anytime, Moose. Good to be with you.
Pleasure's all mine, John. Let's start with the Mets here. It's interesting. Let's start with Alonso. He was asked multiple times down in Arlington about his future with the organization. What's your take on where the Mets are? Do you think there's a possibility that he could get moved come the MLB trade deadline?
Yeah, I think it's very unlikely at this point. The Mets, to me, look like contenders. I mean, on May 18th, when they were not at the bottom, because they kept going down after I wrote it, that I said they would be in the playoffs. And, of course, I didn't even know that Vientos would come up and be great, that Iglesias would be great, that Grimace would do his magic. OMG, IMG, whatever they've got going on, I wasn't predicting. But they're in playoff position now. And we're less than 2 weeks to go before the trade deadline. So I'm going to say it's a real long shot that he gets moved at this point.
All right, John, how aggressive do you think for the Met fan out there that is buying into this team, and rightfully so, 3 games over the 500 mark right there, season ended today, they'd be a wild card team. How aggressive do you think Stearns is going to be come the MLB trade deadline, if not before?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they need to be that aggressive. I do think they need to beef up that bullpen. They did start that with Phil Maton, and they did that basically with money, right? I mean, you got about $3 million to go, plus the tax, which is another little over $3 million. So $6 million for Phil Maton. That's a lot of money for you and me, but not for Steve Cohn. And I think you can do that with relievers, and that's what they need to get is relievers. I mean, does anyone expect them to get in the sweepstakes for Crochet? Or, the very top starters who could be available, Skubal? I don't think so, not at this point, when they look like they're certainly playing for a wild card. I doubt they would do that, and I wouldn't expect them to, but I think they will be aggressive when it comes to the bullpen, and I think they do need to be aggressive when it comes to the bullpen.
Kodai Senga is going to make one more rehab start at AAA, John, from your understanding, and that news came down within the hour. Do you expect Senga to rejoin the starting rotation if everything goes well in that rehab start at AAA Syracuse?
Yeah, I would expect that. Of course, we've been expecting it for a while. When this came up in spring training, we weren't expecting it to go on this long, and seemed to be a little bit of a communication gap there, and it wasn't easy, and I get that. It's a different language, and this has gone longer than we have expected to this point, but we'll be welcome news if and when he does come back. And look, their rotation has been pretty good. Their pickups in the winter were outstanding. Severino at 1 year, $13 million. Minaya, basically about the same per year with the opt-out on a two-year deal. Outstanding. Look, they did great work in the offseason. That's put them in this position. And right now they've got more starting pitching depth than just about any team. Do they have the best rotation? No, that's the Phillies. And then probably the Mariners after that. But they have among the deepest rotations in baseball. And they only look needy in the bullpen to me.
When you look at guys that, you know, when they were really struggling, that you thought maybe the Mets could move, right? Amarte, I know he's dealing with the bone bruise in his knee, and rehab has not exactly gone great. You know, McNeil has lost his impactful at-bats to Iglesias. Do you think the Mets pair anybody off? You know, we know they need to add to the bullpen, but in doing so, do you think any positional players go here, John?
Yeah, I just don't think Marte and particularly McNeil are tradable at this point. We're not even halfway through that $50 million contract for McNeil. That was obviously an error. I mean, I like Jeff, and he won a batting title at the time. It didn't look that bad, but it certainly looks like a major overpay at this point. And Marte with the injury question once again, and really not a lot of defense, although he was a good hitter for the team when he was available. I just don't see them as being tradable pieces at
John,
this point, unfortunately.
You've been around the team. How much credit do you give to Mendoza? You know, and obviously the players have got to go on the field, and we know how much it soured a year ago, John, and that was a massive storyline. But how much do you give Mendoza credit for the vibe, the culture, and really kind of the unified push you've seen from this team here for the last 5-6 weeks?
Yeah, I think he's done a terrific job for a first-year manager, really for any manager. I mean, they were an 11-game under 500 situation. That's a pretty bad situation. I don't think anybody thought they could be in the playoff position by the All-Star break. So, I mean, I think the fact that he stayed on an even keel is not a guy who panics. I think that is huge. I was skeptical when they hired him. I mean, he was the bench coach for an underachieving Yankee team, certainly affected by injury last year, but You know, he became a hot candidate for whatever reason, and whatever the reason was, it was good. It was a good reason because I think he is really good in terms of the clubhouse, particularly, and I thought that was another good move that they made. I mean, I know that Mike Puma and Greg Joyce gave out their report cards on all the Met players and the manager and the GM. Yeah. This winter, and for this season, and I think they both did a terrific job. It's great. It's good to look at it if you look at the post, and I think you know, appropriately, Mendoza got a B plus. He maybe even deserves an A minus. Puma's a bit of a tough grader, but I thought he was really right on, basically with almost everybody. So I thought it was interesting to look at. I think Cerns also got a B plus. I would probably give him an A, but it was an interesting read, certainly, and to see two guys get an F. I mean, Puma's got some big stones. We got to give him some credit.
Yeah, I'm glad Puma wasn't one of my teachers when I was at Don Bosco Prep.
Man.
I'll tell you that.
He's good though.
He does a great job. Mike does a great job over the Yankees, John. The impending free agency of Soto. How much pressure does that put on Cashman and company to try and do whatever they can to get this team across the finish line, accomplish the goal of trying to win a World Series?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly always pressure on the Yankees because, as we know, their MO is World Series or bust, right? So it's been bust since 2010, right? 2009, their last World Series, and now they have arguably, and it's not that great an argument. I guess the case could be made for Ohtani, but probably the two best hitters in baseball in that lineup. And, you know, certainly they were playing for this year, giving them five good young pitchers to get Soto. And he has worked out. I mean, he's been everything that you would hope he'd be. He's taken to the city, to the fans. It's really worked out fantastically. But he got an A, deservedly so. But we don't have the final grade on that trade and him until the season ends because you know, there's always pressure on the Yankees. I think there's a little bit more pressure this year because they're certainly trading five guys for 1 year of a superstar, this is the year to get it done.
It is. And with that being said, you know, if memory serves me correct, John, and correct me if I'm wrong, they were unwilling to give up Spencer Jones in the conversations they were having with Milwaukee about Corbin Burns. He ends up getting traded to Baltimore. Is there still a reluctance, if the deal was right, if the player was right, of giving up their Spencer Jones, their highly touted prospect?
Well, I do believe in Spencer Jones. He's got incredible speed, huge power, not as much as Judge. Of course, nobody has as much power as Judge, but maybe Stanton, but nobody else. I advocated in the post that they only trade him if the Scooble is actually available from the Tigers, the AL Cy Young favorite. You know, if you can get him and he's got two more years to go, I'd say go for it. They didn't do it for Cease. They didn't do it for Burns or anybody, but Burns was a rental. Scooble, a little bit different situation with 2.5 years to go. I would certainly do it for him. It's not going to be easy. If Scooble does become available, how do they beat out the Orioles, right? The Orioles have the best prospect capital in baseball. You know, part of that is excellent picks, but the other part is they were frankly terrible for 4 years, right? I mean, they were picking
right
at the top.
Unwatchable.
Yeah, they were picking at the top, and they did well with their picks. I'm not killing them for that, but they did well with their picks, and they have more prospect capital than anybody. Yankees do have some prospect capital, leading with Jones. Unfortunately, Dominguez is injured now. Looks like he may be out for the year. It's going to be close to see whether he comes back. They've got Chase Hampton, who was talked about in the Soto deal. Ultimately, they sent Thorpe instead. You know, their prospect capital, I think, is about average. Not bad, considering they had a pick low. You can't really kill them. And they traded five guys to get Soto. But tough to beat the Orioles out. If Scooble's actually available, it's hard to imagine the Yankees actually being able to pull a trigger on a deal to beat out the Orioles and the Dodgers and teams with more great prospects.
You know, with so many teams in contention, you know, for a wild card spot, John, I mean, that's what Rob Manfred wants to see. That's why you have the new playoff system, bring more cities in, less teams going out there and trying to divest come the MLB trade deadline, more contenders. But with that now, a lot of teams are going to be looking for relievers. The Yankees, Mets, I mean, the two locals here in New York. In terms of availability, give us some names here of guys you think that could potentially be solutions back end of the bullpen for both teams that you think will be available.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Yeah, as you referenced, it's a big seller's market, meaning that the sellers have a big advantage. There are really only five dedicated selling teams at this point. I think the Nats will join. Potentially the Jays could become a seller. I think the Rays are probably leaning that way. They've already kind of sold off two pieces, so we'll put them in the seller category. But, you know, obviously we've got the White Sox, the Marlins, the A's, the Angels, and the Rockies as sellers. Let's say we get to 8 or 9 sellers. You still got 21 or 22 buyers, right? Way more buyers than sellers, more than twice as many buyers, and it's not going to be easy. But it does feel like there is a decent stash of good back-end possibilities available. Mason Miller, I mean, obviously he's got 5 years to go, so the A's can easily hold on to him. I think he's probably going to stay with the A's, but his name is certainly going to be out there, and they should consider it. If you're Oakland, you're not winning this year, you're probably not winning next year. I mean, I don't know how many more years it's going to go on. We don't even know they're playing. But
that organization's a disaster. But yeah, Miller's a guy, but we get calls Miller all the time, John, like, conceivably speaking, if the A's, and you mentioned the 5 more years of control, if the A's say themselves and decide who is a dominant reliever this year, ultra impressive, the swing and miss stuff, and that is exactly what the Yankees need back end, swing and miss stuff, what would it cost you to go get a Mason Miller?
A lot. I mean, I think Scooble costs the most, but after that, of the guys who are semi-available, you know, I don't want to say anyone's available for sure, except for the most obvious guys, the rentals on the really dregs of the league. I mean, Tanner Scott certainly is going to be traded from the Marlins. Estevez is almost certainly going to be traded from the Angels. There are other relievers out there. Mason Miller will cost you probably two very good prospects to get, I would say, two probably top 100 prospects. And that's a gamble when you talk, even though he throws 103.7, struck out Ohtani with a 101.8 in the All-Star game, it's a gamble when you're talking about a hard-throwing reliever, certainly with the arm situation going around baseball, stuff happens. That is a gamble to trade that much for a reliever. But as I said, I think Tanner Scott's going to be traded. Estevez is going to be traded. I could see Finnegan potentially from the Nats being traded. So there are impact back-end guys who are available. I got a list here of relievers could go, and there's probably 25 more who could potentially be traded. Maybe Fairbanks, the closer from the Rays, could go somewhere. But, the other 25 guys, not of that ilk, the top closer. But you got three closers who potentially could be traded, at least three, with Estevez, Scott, and Miller, and then you throw Finnegan in there, too. That's four. So the potential is out there. And, I mean, Tanner Scott would be a good one. I mean, he's a dominant reliever.
No doubt.
A rental would not cost you two top prospects. You know, somebody's going to get him. He'd been with Baltimore previously. They'll look at him as well. Baltimore's tough competition. They got so many good prospects. Some of them are at the major league level now, but they could certainly trade them away. And they've got outfielders. They've got Kerstadt. They get Kowser. They got so many guys. And, while Santander is a free agent after the year with the Orioles, Yankees have to worry about the fact Verdugo and Soto could potentially leave as well. So they got two guys who could leave, and then they have fewer prospects also to trade. And again, not blaming the Yankees. They draft late. They're more of a free agent team. The Orioles are more of a trade team. So Orioles have an advantage, one game lead right now, but they also have the big advantage in the prospect capital.
Yeah, no question about it. And a team that won 101 games, I believe, a year ago. John, I want to ask you about two position players that get bandied about a lot. Jazz Chisholm with the Marlins, McMahon out there in Colorado. Do you think both of those players get moved come July 30th?
Yeah, I don't think McMahon gets moved. He basically said out there that he was told by the GM, Bill Schmidt, that he's not going anywhere, and I had heard that previously as well. So I would say McMahon does not get moved. The Rockies don't make a ton of trades. They'll certainly listen on their starters, Gomber and Quantrill, maybe some relievers, who a few people have heard of, but probably not most, so I won't even mention them. But I don't think they do too much. Jazz Chisholm is being talked about so much, it'll be a surprise if he's not traded now. Certainly the Yankees are a team that are a potential fit, and the Mariners as well, and he's now on the dirt playing at second, back at second base, and they say that's for need, but it's also a good showcase for him because the Mariners do need a second baseman. At this point, I think the Yankees got their fingers crossed with Gleyber Torres. Their bigger question is third base, so potentially Isak Paredes from the Rays, who was an all-star. A lot of these all-stars are on the block. He's being talked about in trade. That could make more sense for them. There were other guys that I thought of, Renjifo with the Angels, but he's hurt at this point. India with the Reds, but the Reds are hot right now, so I don't see them as a seller necessarily. Not a ton of infielders out there, really very few.
When you look at it over the next 11, 12 days here, John, do you expect it to be really, really active given the fact of how many teams are in contention and how few sellers there are?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly going to come down to the last day and a half. That's generally the way it's been, so I'm not apt to think that it's going to go something other than that. Obviously the Marlins signaled early trading a rise, so I mean, I think it kind of behooves the Marlins or the White Sox, two teams that are committed sellers, to do it now before other teams join the mix. But they feel, obviously, that they can get their best deals toward the end because, Arise was traded more than a month ago, right? And they haven't done anything with Tanner Scott, who's clearly going to go. I mean, Lizardo's had the back situation, so we don't know where he stands right now. But I do think it behooves the Marlins and the White Sox to act quickly if they can. That said, I kind of doubt that they will, and I think it basically all comes down to the end, the last 48 hours, and probably the bulk of it, probably 80% of it to the final 24 hours.
All right, when we get to July 30th, and it's 7 o'clock at night, do you think the Mets and the Yankees have both gone out there and done as well as they could to address their needs? Do you expect both locals to be really active, John?
I do. I mean, I mean, the Mets are in playoff spot. The Yankees are a game behind right now. And as we talked about, the pressure is on this year with Soto. No guarantee that they'll be signing him. I do think they have a good chance of it, but no guarantee. So pressure's on for them to do well. And look, the Mets are in position right now, but I think it's going to take, you know, I know the Arizona slid in with 84 wins last year. It's going to take at least that, maybe even more. Arizona's been around 500. They're better than that. I mean, Merrill Kelly's coming back. They've got other guys coming back. Allen just got back. Montgomery could be back. So they're going to be better than they've been. The Cubs have got to be better than they've been. The Giants spent a lot of money. They should be much better than they have been as well. So it's going to take something. I don't think the Mets can just think they're going to be a playoff team being two games over 500. So I think they understand that, and their bullpen is in such a situation now. And I'm not blaming the guys. I mean, you know, obviously they've been a lot of use for these guys.
They're in the bullpen every day, and then you have two guys that go down with Tommy John injuries, and then you're just running out of quality arms. They just don't have enough quality arms.
That's the way it does appear. I mean, it looks like Buto could be a help there. Nunez has been outstanding. I mean, Diaz, I mean, obviously they got to get something out of him. He was not good in the first half, generally speaking. I don't know what I think Puma gave him a D. I think maybe that was even a little generous there, Puma. So they need help in the bullpen, and they know it. They brought in now Maton, and I think they know they need more help and more reinforcements in that bullpen. And I think they do have pieces to trade, whether they're willing to do that. I'm not sure. They've been reluctant to trade prospects, but maybe they can identify one or two that they're not sure are going to really work out at the major league level. Of course, the previous regime never believed that Vientos was going to work out at the major league level, and thankfully, they never traded him, even though he was offered all over the place.
Yeah, thank God that Billy Epler didn't get his way, because Vientos is a solution. Brett Beatty is not. John, one more before I let you go, and it's just on Soto. From your understanding, how much does – listen, money's money. I'm never going to fault a player for trying to maximize their value. We see it in all walks of life, and we see it, obviously, in professional sports. How much value do you think being a Yankee means to Soto?
Yeah, I don't know. That would have to get inside his head. Obviously, he turned down the $440 million a couple of years ago from the Nats, which was the original team, and he certainly liked it there. And he's, you know, now a few months from free agency. He's not going to do anything during the season, as the Yankees had hoped, and that was a long shot. They understood that. It'll be after the season, and you know, I would hope and think that there is some value, and he seems to be enjoying himself immensely, and it's certainly a big benefit to bat in front of Judge. And I mean, he likes the roll call. I don't know if that saves them any money or not, but you know, I would think that if we're talking you know, $1 million a year or something like that, he would you know, take sacrifice that. But I mean, you know, he's waited this long. The vast majority of guys go for the best deal, you know, and that's life, and that's the way it is. I mean, there aren't that many. Who's the guy in the Knicks? I'm not a bad
Jalen Brunson, who took less money.
I mean,
it's unprecedented in the NBA.
Right. What, he'd leave $113 million?
He could have got $270 next year, took a $157 this year.
All right, I'm not going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say Soto's not going to leave $113 million on tape.
You know what? Fair statement. John, I love you. Appreciate
it. Same here. Same here, Moose.
You got it. John Heyman, New York Post, MLB Network. Check out his podcast that he does with Joel Sherman. Great run around the Major League Baseball. Give me an idea who's going to be available, who's not. It's certainly going to be you know, a lot of teams in contention. Mentioned about 8-9 teams that could potentially be sellers. Going to cost you an arm and a leg to get. Mason Miller, who's got 5 years of control with the Oakland Athletics. Want to hear from you. 888-808-1019. That's 888-808-1019. Mark Melusis with you on this Thursday midday. In for BT and Sal right here, the Fan in New York.